You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
I'm Tom Loftus.
Oh, or Tom. Nice to meet you, Arthur.
You want to grab some coffee?
No, I'm good. Jerry was just taking me through some of your history.
Oh, that's great. Yes, well, remarkable story.
I was talking to the guy on the ferry, and he said something odd.
What was that?
He said bad things happen here.
There is something about these seafaring towns. The superstition is... their tall tales. I find it charming myself. What town doesn't have a checkered past?
Was there cannibalism?
No.
I didn't
do it. It's okay. I solved the problem. Hello, and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. No longer in echo, but also, hello, Jill, and hello, Quinny. How
are you? We are on Echo Point, which is just near Widow's Bay.
No, that's Echo Beach.
Oh, okay. Well, this is Echo Beach near Widow's Bay,
but also
far away in time.
Yeah.
far away in time. How the hell are you?
All right.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Jill.
Welcome back, Jill.
Yes, I watched my play last week.
Yes.
Good old time. Play? Yes.
Excellent.
Did you didn't end up seeing Evil Dead?
No,
not yet. Burn. No burns. That's okay.
Burns. Much
burns.
And I am pleased to see that, like, a lot of the discourse about Evil Dead Burn has kind of hit roughly where we did too, which was, aren't these things meant to be a little bit funny at some points? No, okay.
No, they're not meant to be. But that's, look, I mean, it's fine. We're back this week, and this week we're going back to TV land.
Yeah.
Yes.
TV land.
Yay.
For this week.
Which is very exciting.
Haven't done one of these for a little while, good old fucking
whole season
thing, but on Apple TV, which doesn't have a little Netflix ding, unfortunately. There's no noise for Apple.
There's that noise that the Apple logo does at the beginning of each episode, which fuck only knows. Yeah.
Who knows? we're on Widow's Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Which is legally distinct and separate from anything to do with Castle Rock or Haven or Derry or anywhere that's been like near Stephen King.
Who would have
King
thought
ever?
That there'd be some spooky thing happening in New England, America? No, just dead silence. No idea.
No, not I. I wouldn't have thought that.
And
yet here we are.
For yet another New England bound television show / film / series, just explaining why we don't want to go there.
It is an interesting thing. Like, I don't know what it is particularly about that area, the New England thing that immediately calls out to people and says, I don't know, I feel like there should be some eldritch fucking horror here.
I think it's probably got something to do with the pilgrims settling there and them being haunted as fuck.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, that sounds that tracks.
I mean, they just come over here. They take all of the land. They don't contribute.
Bring their smallpox.
Yeah, they don't contribute.
Take our jobs.
Don't contribute to the local economy. They just start their own economies. They don't integrate.
They burn their witches.
Yeah.
Exactly. They eat mushrooms. They go a bit crazy. But are they crazy? Is there actually some demonic presence going on?
Who knows?
Bit of column A, bit of column B.
Yeah, a bit of this. We kind of return to the New England Sound area.
The last time we were here was from my octopus friend or whatever it was called.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, which I've always find kind of hilarious that it's set in that thing, but it was shot in Canada, and this is very definitely New England, but could also be Canada because it's just on an island in the middle of nowhere. That's a good segue, Quinny. What should we know about Widow's Bay? And do you have a synopsis for us?
I'm looking for a decent one.
Right. All right. I'm going and if anyone in the chat, hello chat, sorry to say hello.
Hi chat,
hello.
We love you.
Hi chat, we love you. Do you have a good recommendation for Quinny's accent for this one?
Oh,
I'm going to throw one out there, and I'm going to go lobster fisherman.
Okay.
The guy from like the start of the SpongeBob intro, like that kind of voice.
Oh, there's one there from Pretty Kangaroo about sea shanty. There you go.
Right.
Singing in a sea shanty, Quinny.
Yeah. Yo ho, right. Okay.
Are you ready to go? Do you need some, music?
I'm trying to find a decent one that is even a remotely long length. Because
thanks for coming prepared.
I was doing it while we were talking. But okay, we got right, here we go. This is what I've got. Yeah. And it's not going to be good and it's not going to be long. Widow's Bay is set in the north, the fictional New England island town of Widow's Bay, which is afflicted by a centuries-old curse, which brings various supernatural evils upon the island. Widow's Bay is a place, I don't know.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
Widow's Bay.
Everything's bad here. Yes. Sorry, that was terrible. I apologize. Yep. I'm embarrassed.
Not your best.
No, not my best. Oh, look, I'm going to put my hand up to it right now and say I'm sick. I've got a dose of the con crud.
Let me play my tiny fiddle.
Oh, no.
Oh, a tiny sea shanty. Hooray, up she rises.
You should be playing the bells, Jill.
No. Tubular or otherwise.
No, the church bell. Oh. Ring that church bell.
Yeah, ding dong.
As he's saying,
give us a deep
you.
Southern Tasmanian accent. Oh. Nah, I get fucked up.
I was going to say, my mother used to call me Quasimodo when I was a child.
Oh.
Oh. Well, you've...
So I'm a bell ringer from way back.
You've...
I don't know your name, but your face rings a bell.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know. It could be Quasimodo because Jill used to fucking punch cunts out and just be like, there you go. Bell ringer.
Not because you had a hump and a lisp and one eye larger than the other or anything.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, she really loved her child.
I was going to say, thanks, Mom. I don't know where you're getting at with that. But,
not because the people of the town used to chase around with pitchforks and torches.
Yeah, throw eggs at her and mock her.
Yeah.
No, that was high school.
Okay, well, welcome to Widow's Bay, where our trauma is on the show.
Yes. Well adjusted now.
Yep, totally.
Not so, carrying trauma so at all.
Starring Matthew Rhys as the town mayor Tom Loftus. Does everyone know where Matthew Rhys is from? Where did you come across
the
Matthew Rhys?
The Americans.
In The Americans is probably his most famous show, which I tried to watch and then I just gave up after half an episode, but I had other shit on. So.
Oh, wow.
I know, right?
It's a real guard go.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that's that show. Yeah, it's really good. Everyone likes it. Ah, I can't be fucked.
Right.
Maybe I'll go back. I don't know. Created by Katie Dippold, who is a writer who used to work on Parks and Recreation. Parks and Recreation.
I love that show. It's so good.
But also,
I love it so much.
Famously, she was meme famous by turning up to a Halloween party dressed as the Babadook and no one else was in costume. So if you remember that meme, that was her.
Wow.
And also, shot by Hiro Murai, who is a famous film clip cinematographer, and is quite good in this, and worked on Atlanta, that TV show with Childish Gambino. And
didn't he also do Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
I cannot remember.
I think so. The Apple TV one.
Ooh.
Amazon? No, it was Amazon.
He did a couple.
Okay, right.
Yeah, and some of The Bear and Station 11 and Barry and Legion.
I was going to say, I've seen the name around. He's
okay.
Obviously quite the regular director of TV. Yeah. Safe hand.
I'll call it out at the moment, mainly because it's a very interesting, interestingly shot series that I think is just as much of a character as everyone in the show, because it's so consistent and it's got this very interesting tone, and it feels like you're watching a 70s or 80s slasher film in that way. Even though it's shot beautifully and everything is great, it does have a very much like, oh, this feels like a slasher like film.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. It's doing a very, very, like, it's doing a love letter to a particular style of films, and it's an oeuvre, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
And it's,
sell that one.
Yeah.
And it's also good because I love that when it's playing around and you're watching it, I'm like, is this a horror or is this a comedy? I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely both.
Yeah.
It's definitely, by the end of it, I really got the tone because I was like, yeah, there could easily be a laugh track added to this, but I love that it doesn't have a laugh track because it's still a bit creepy.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, 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 absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a clown. I don't like clowns.
Oh, yes, no, I forgot about that. I forgot the call. Yeah, there
was a clown. I watched that one and I was like, Jill's going to hate this.
Yep.
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 And it's funny because, like, it does a very, very careful balancing act of being funny up until a point, and then it'll jump over into scary enough, but then it'll lighten it off with a little bit more funny, and then it'll give you a bit more scary. And, like, I think it's a very, very careful thing, which means that by the time you get to the end of the series, like, that balance is kind of what you understand about the town. So some of the things that they discover in that last episode, you're like, oh, that is funny and terrifying all at once.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's quite a deft hand to present us with an idea and then be consistent all the way through. And then you get that little bit of reveal at the end about the story of the island and about what's going on. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
This is going to suck for season two, if there's a season two. I haven't checked yet.
It's Apple, so there's a much higher chance that they're going to give it a season two, unlike Netflix, who haven't worked. I love that they put out a statement recently going, we don't know. We don't know why people stop watching our shows after the first season. I don't know, Netflix, because you fucking cancel them?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Possibly because it's 2 years between seasons and nobody can remember what the fuck happened last time.
Yes, Apple has confirmed in June that they're going to do season two.
Yay!
So at least we will get a little bit of resolution to whatever the fuck's going on.
I don't know how much resolution I need.
It's kind of a hard way to describe the comedic tone in this because it's not overly, it's not like full of gags. I would say that it's kind of a little bit satirical in, like, it's doing horror satire.
Yeah. It's almost a parody of horrors. And in fact,
but not like Scary Movie stupidity.
No, but there's one episode where there's like literally a Jason Voorhees, monster chase.
Yes.
That is straight up parody. But still manages to be occasionally scary.
Yeah, and be able to keep a serious tone while also parodying a horror and trying to be scary all at the same time. It's kind of intriguing how it manages to accomplish all of it.
I think it's quite successful too, mainly because it's a fun bunch of characters that you get to consistently follow through, and they all get to have their own little things. Who got to talk
because
about?
We're following the mayor. Who is kind of our straight man in this series. And everyone around him is a bit of like a freaking geek kind of character. Yeah. They're all like foil his what he's trying to accomplish with the town. Well, and that's kind of where a lot of the comedy comes in.
It's an interesting sort of part of it because he's not from the island.
Mm.
And then you've got to remember this is kind of like, one of those things which is like, you ain't from around here. So he may be the mayor, but he's not from the island. There's a distinction between people who are from the island and people who are visiting the island. And as the
local island for local people.
Exactly. He's just got a really exciting thing that he wants to do, which is to open the island up and make it attractive to tourists to try to kick the economy off a little bit and make life better for everyone and the kids and everything that's on the island, which is great. It's a really noble, very simple premise, except for the fact the island has a terrible history of Puritanism and church and religion and spookiness and murders and death, much like everything in New England, if I'm to understand.
Islands
having never
haunted.
Been. Yeah.
The island's haunted.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Go home, island's haunted. Also, Hawk Opluke to come in and just dropping subs like it's going crazy.
Yes, nice. Thank you.
Thanks very much. And yes, Hawk Opluke, the true horror will be in season two where they build the data centers.
And everyone gets labeled as a terrorist if they oppose.
Yeah.
Wait, hang on.
Yuck.
Is that the way? Yeah, that's not it. There are already enough terrible things that are happening in this New England town.
What my initial thing was, because last year I went on a real bender for Stephen King stuff. Maybe it was even earlier this year. On the back of Welcome to Derry, I then kind of went down the rabbit hole and checked out Castle Rock, and got through a season and a half of that, and then I was like, oh, maybe I'll check out Haven, and maybe I'll look up 1962 or whatever it is. I went through a big Stephen King phase, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And this is clearly a poking fun at, a loving jibe throughout to a whole bunch of Stephen King stories.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, you can almost kind of copy and paste them out of bits. You know, there's stuff in the first episode that could very much be The Mist. Or
there's an episode that's reminiscent of Carrie.
Very, very reminiscent of Carrie.
It's just every trope or thing that you kind of recognize from every horror thing, but presented in a nice enough way that it is like, we know that this is not probably real, but does it kind of become real? Maybe it does. Maybe there is something nefarious going on, but it's all kind of explainable.
Yeah.
Sort
of. Interesting. I thought there were a whole, it was a tone for the most part. And then there is one episode that shifts tone quite significantly.
Is that the one that's set in the past about the town's history?
Yeah.
Like it's probably the least funny of them all.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely where it takes like a serious turn.
Though it does still have a couple of little moments in it where you're like, oh, yeah, that's kind of funny.
Yeah. I mean, it's more creepy funny, but it's there as a setup. And it is a bit jarring against the actual narrative because you're sitting in one time period, you just go to one episode of the old time period, and then we go back. And it's kind of like, okay, fine, I'll get where we are. But then, it gets a little bit more interesting for the finale because it explains a bit more about the town's history and sort of allows you to understand why maybe these things are happening, but doesn't actually tell you why.
So not quite a spoiler, but more of like a plot premise is that like people that are born on the island can't leave. And so there's a bit of a debacle about like who are the people on the island and what is the lineage and what is actually causing all of these horrors to now resurface and basically go like apocalyptic on the island and how do they stop it?
Yeah.
And so we kind of get a history lesson in one episode about like who was probably the instigator of all of these horrors. And then you kind of start to learn through like we get like another history lesson from Rosemary that tells us about the descendants of this original guy. And then we kind of like learn who the last surviving member of that family is. And
And I love that.
They perhaps be the key to ending all of this.
I love that also comes in that very, like everything that the people from the island do have a particular way about doing the things that they want to do and they do it at their own pace, I think it's a very funny sort of jibe at, small communities that don't yeah. particularly, and while it's frustrating to everyone else, even the audience was sitting there going, could you just fucking get on with it?
Oh my God. I think my favorite thing is the diner that never gets an order right.
Yeah.
And people are consistently like ordering takeaway when it gets delivered. It's just somebody else's order or yep. it's one potato.
I love that waitress. She's fantastic because it's like, oh, where's this order for this table? It's right here. Oh, good. I'll just walk out the back and have a smoke. It's like,
yeah. She hates you.
Yeah. She hates everything. You. But, you know, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Look, I got to say the cast of characters is rounded out very interestingly. You've got Kate O'Flynn. Who plays what is she? Patricia. She's she's Tom's assistant, the mayor's assistant, and you've also got Stephen Root as Wick. And I mean, he's a great. You know, have you seen his stapler? That's where you would know Stephen Root from.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Stephen Root has sort of done that character role for a long time. But
yeah. You look at him and you go, I've seen that guy in so many other things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a few other, like, you know, character actors you might see, be like, oh, that's interesting, who come and sort of go throughout the season. But, you know, ultimately, the island is its character.
Also, something I liked about it was that it didn't feel the need to have big guest star kind of things. Like, I actually think it does better because I didn't feel like I was watching a guest star of the week or anything like that. I felt like these characters were all very much just like of a style, of a vibe. And I can very easily imagine, like, you know, season two, it's obviously, it's been very successful. It's gotten a lot of Emmy Award nominations and stuff like that. Are we going to start seeing the celebrity cameo kind of things?
Oh.
And I kind of don't want that. I kind of like that these people are very much character actors who you're like, I don't know what's going on, but they're creepy. Look, or they're...
Honestly, it felt to me a little bit like Parks and Rec season one. And Jill, you and I can talk about this. Quinny, just try and follow along, buddy.
I'll just go fuck myself over here.
Just try and follow along as best you can. Where, like, everyone was sort of setting themselves up and they may have an interesting story which will come out later until they sort of find their voices as characters. And I feel like there's a consistent theme of two or three characters in this, but I'm looking forward to discovering more about the other characters as maybe perhaps seasons go on, because they are fascinating.
Yes.
The way, like, they know what they're doing. They're just kind of there and they're interesting. And we don't have to have some new one that comes in every week and does stuff. It'll just be interesting to
just
find out.
Like, how about each episode we learn something about these people that we already know?
Or like the other thing is, the other character is the island. The island has mysterious, terrifying, like, presences which have historical note in the, like, historical society cabin house that they have. All of the monsters that we get to see are in that thing that you get introduced to, and you watch them coming through. It's like, oh, that's just a sea hag. And you're like, what the fuck is a sea hag?
Just a sea hag?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, it doesn't spend too much time trying to keep us away from the supernatural. Like, it'd be very easy to eke this out for multiple seasons where, you know, Tom never actually sees anything really, you know, happen and never believes Wick. And
we were kind of setting that up in the beginning until, like, he fully gets thrown into it.
Yeah.
I thought we were kind of going that direction as well until, like, the Sea Hag episode.
Yeah.
I mean, I do love my favorite character out of these background characters that I've got to say is the lighthouse keeper. He's funny. He's just fucking hilarious. And he doesn't have any lines. That's what I love about him. He's just eternally slow in everything, that he never does it quite the right way. And everything's always slow. And everyone is always like, fuck, no, I've asked you to do something and now he's going to take 4 hours
and he's
to do
take
this thing.
Extra long time to do it in the middle of a storm.
Yeah. Yeah,
just waving.
Yeah.
Like, for fuck's sake.
Yes, it's just kind of funny. But see, that's the kind of, like, interesting thing about it. Even though it's tropey, even though it's not really discovering new ground. It's just presenting old ground in a new way kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And because it's this thing between horror, like horror, thriller or comedy, I think that's why it's kind of been successful. That's why I had a really good time with the season. I was like, oh, this is actually quite funny and dark, but funny. And there's a clown.
Yeah. See, your thing was the clown. That kind of fucked with you for a little bit. There was a bit in the episode that I guess is the quasi-Carrie episode.
Yes.
That there is a couple of shots, and like these are the ones that really worked for me, where like there'd be a panning shot in the mirror. You would see that everybody was doing some fucking weird, fucked up shit that you only see in the mirror. Mm. And you're just like, oh, no, I don't like that. Because there's something going on. Tari, it sounds like it's worth checking out. Yeah, absolutely. It's a very funny, interesting balancing act. And I don't think I've seen something that has managed that very teetering kind of thing in a long time. I can't think of anything TV-wise.
Somebody, was it Predakanga earlier, that was comparing it to Buffy? And I think it does have a bit of those vibes. Like, it's got the horror and the seriousness, but it's also got that acerbic kind of comedy to it.
Yeah, I can see that, I mean, there's also a little Ash versus Evil Dead as well, like, mm-hmm. in that kind of, we've got some horror and we've got some comedy.
Yeah, unlike, you know, Buffy or, like, those sort of things, it's only 10 episodes. It's not Monster of the Week for 22 episodes like we used to get, which is just there's filler episodes and other stuff. It's not really like that. It has its start. It has its end. We get to learn about things.
And we have a little bit of a mystery that we're solving at the same time.
Yep. We're going along with the characters, discovering the mystery and discovering these things and then going, ooh, what's going to happen? But, yes, I think they did quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and Adsky's asking which streamer is it on. It's on Apple TV. It's interesting because, like, I could honestly, if they had done this and called it a Stephen King thing, I wouldn't have been even remotely surprised, apart from the fact that this does the humor better. Yeah. Like,
right, yeah.
This is, you know, not dissimilar at all to Castle Rock or Haven. But the big difference is this one actually gets the kind of ridiculousness of it all.
Yeah.
And is willing to kind of go, yeah, it's a bit funny.
It's even got the font in the title that looks very Stephen King-ish.
It's
straight up Salem's Lot.
Yeah. We're all watching this and we're like, oh, you love Stephen King books and series that have been made out of it. And you're like, yeah, we're just going to pinch a bit on that. And pinch a bit of this one and take a bit of that.
Loves his Frizz Quadrata Black.
Oh.
Ew.
Oh.
So just flex.
Jesus Christ, Jill.
We are all not worthy.
I'm very impressed.
Oh, yeah.
But now I think about it, like, I think it's the second episode that is, like, probably one of the most Stephen King-y, where you've got Haunted Hotel.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah.
With a whole bunch of things that you've got to tick off the list to do that are a bunch of Stephen King tropes. And then who knows, maybe you'll find a terrifying fucking clown serial killer in the basement.
Yeah.
But I also love that this whole thing is going along with you as a journey, as someone who hears these things, because in that particular episode, you know, all the townspeople are like, well, you go and stay in the haunted place in that particular thing and you have to do all these bits to prove that it's safe. And you just start sitting there and he's like, oh, sure, I'll do that because this is dumb for this reason and that's not going to happen because of this reason, blah, blah. It just lists it all off going, yeah, it's weird. And then it does kind of go very weird and you're like, oh, okay, was that right? Yeah, like the characters in this aren't dumb. They don't do the things because they don't do dumb things in it. They try to apply their own logic to stuff. It just doesn't quite go the way that they think. And I think that's the interesting bit about it. That's why we get the cross between horror and comedy, is because they do apply the horror movie logic to things. Like, I'm not going into that hole by myself. Yeah. Oh, shit, I got to get in the hole.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Which I kind of like, you know. At least they know that, like, when they're going into it, they're like, this is not right, but okay. And a lot of it also comes down to superstition. Like, is this just fairy tales from the island, or is there a real danger? Like, I still feel like everyone who was born on the island says, I can't leave because if I leave, something bad will happen. But people kind of don't really test that out.
Yes.
Yeah. They want to.
Yeah, they want to, but they're scared of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, there's enough character mystery in there, like, that you are left with enough questions to kind of go, okay, where is this going? What?
Yeah.
Where is this character coming from? And, I mean, by the end of the season, we still don't know a hell of a lot about Wick.
No.
You know, we don't really know. I mean, we know a bit more about Tom, but, you know, there's a lot of characters we still don't know much about.
Yes.
And that's kind of the fun of it, that at least now we get to season two. And then we can find out more and be like, what the fuck is going on these islands? And do I ever want to go to New England? Not really. I don't even care if your lobster rolls are that good.
But that huge reveal at the end of the last episode, I was like, shit, it's the second season right now.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that in spoilery bits because that's fucking, yes.
Speaking of spoilery bits, should we give it a rating and then go and have a look at a clip?
Sure.
What Let's rating? What do you give this one? Who wants to start this time?
I'll start. I'll give it a... I'm going to go 78.
78?
78, yeah.
That's lovely.
Quite
good.
Yeah, I got onto it fairly early and there was a couple of episodes up. And then by the time I burnt through them all, I'm like, oh my God, now I have to wait week to week. And so I was always looking forward to watching the next episode. Because, I love a bit of horror. And the comedy really surprised me. I'd enjoyed it because I really felt Tom's pain in the idiocy of some of the people that he's surrounded with and, like, imagining that all of this is just bullshit. And it's like, oh, my God, can we stop with, like, all of this, please? And then, being put in that situation of, like, oh, shit, it's real.
Yeah, and could you stop being so fucking little town moron?
Yeah.
I still love it. It's in the first episode. It's not a spoiler, but it's just like, I'm mayor. It's like, how did you get that? It was like, well, I ran unopposed.
Yeah.
I was the only one who said, I want to be mayor. And everyone was like, sure, have it.
Yeah, it's all yours, buddy.
It's all yours, buddy. Off you go.
And the great thing is, like, it feels like there is still a lot of characters and stuff in the town that we may vaguely be aware of, but we don't know all about. So
yeah.
I love that this is not Monster of the Week. It's kind of Local of the Week in a way. Like every episode you could, if you want to, kind of dive into one of the local characters and explore them a little bit, and then with them an extra horror trope or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm going to go 82. I really... Actually, no, fuck it, 83.
83?
Why not?
83 for Quinny.
What a nice round number.
Yeah. I love confusing numbers like that. I really enjoyed myself. And once I kind of got going with it, I was like, oh, no, I need the next one and the next one. And I probably should watch the next one too.
Sure.
At no point in time was it a chore, which is a pretty good thing because, like, I had the day off yesterday because I'm thick, and I was like, I'll be able to watch a few, and I got through five in a day.
Wow.
Yeah. And also, that's the other thing we didn't mention, they're quite short. Like, a lot of these episodes are, like, 35, 36 minutes long. You know, a real long one's 51. So, they're easy watches.
Mm.
And I like that they're the length that the episode needs to be.
Yeah.
Not what they think is important for, a TV broadcast standard. There is no standard episode length at all. But I enjoy that. because it means that they're not trying to pad things out, but they're also not trying to speed things up.
Yeah. Letting it be. Look, I'm just going to give it a flat 80.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with it. Like, I've been, I really have enjoyed some of the Apple programming that has come out, and I've gotten on board with it. Some of it hasn't quite worked out. Haven't gone back to For All C. Mankind. Hey, you leave C alone. It is a masterpiece of the two seasons that we got. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah. Look, I haven't gone back to Silo.
I have.
Season 3's out.
I have, and I'm enjoying it again. Because okay. Season 2 was not great. Season 2 really fucking dragged its feet. But Season 3, I've jumped back into it. I'm like, oh, yeah, now there's something interesting happening.
Is it?
It's, yeah, believe it or not. Yeah,
how many different times are we just going to do fucking Snowpiercer? Snowpiercer in a hole. Snowpiercer on a train.
Yeah.
Snowpiercer in a... Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 80. There we okay, go. Cool. That's nice. Enough for me.
And sure. Pretty Kangaroo has dropped an 85 in the chat, so yeah. That is
nice,
lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay, we'll have a look at a clip and then we'll come back and talk about it spoiler-filled.
Excellent. I hope I haven't labeled them correctly. So let's hope that this is a clip from, I don't know, I didn't label it. So I've got a bunch of clips here.
I'm congratulations. Like, best copy ever.
I hope it's...
So, you're an offering. You've been carefully selected by a committee of your peers in a very fair, very rigorous selection process. Maybe you've committed a crime, or owe a debt to society, or have been found wanting in some way. Although you'll never know, take comfort in the fact that there is an absolutely unassailable reason you're here. Accept your fate and take pride. Your sacrifice will save countless members of our community from needless suffering. Now, take a look around the room and identify your facilitator. He is the only conscious person who is not restrained. Follow his orders, and this process will go smoothly. Obey. And while we can't promise you a painless end to your life, we will promise to do everything possible to make it as quick as possible. Thank you again for your sacrifice. Widow's Bay thanks you.
Well, sorry, there you go. Ooh, a little bit is a little interesting, isn't it? What does all that mean? Mm. This is the fun times.
It's interesting you went that clip because have we got our spoiler logo up?
Are yeah,
we
yeah, fully yeah. Spoiler is up.
Right. Okay, cool. Because that to me was one of the most interesting bits of the series.
It kind of is. I still think that there's that only because that leads us off into a different kind of vibe. It's just a new vibe that is more interesting. A little bit down the Severance hole kind of thing. So, you know, which is just, it's just an interesting addendum because we spent so much time playing with this current day island and a little bit of time in the originations of the island. The idea that there's like a 70s version of the island is just the thing that makes everyone go, oh, that's very interesting. Like,
yeah,
and what does that mean?
So many levels to what is happening on this island. Like, it's not just about the ancestry and this curse or whatever it is, but there's more stuff going on. I think one of my favorite bits was the unsettling Welcome to Widow's Bay
video
clip that plays in the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
The bizarre guy that just kind of keeps walking away into the distance and never stops, and then you keep flicking channels and you go back and that scene is
everywhere,
still just there, like that bay is there and there's nobody standing on the beach anymore. It's like, that is creepy shit. I love that.
Yeah. And I love that little video, like that video, but also the movie that we just watched there, because that says that we're almost in like the Wicker Man territory here. Like this is at a certain point in time, a group or an organization of people who knew how to keep the darkness at bay and turned it into a structural system for the entire community.
Yeah.
And that's fucked up, and I love it, and I really want to explore that more. Like,
yeah. And this is why we don't visit those places, because they're full of weirdos. Anyone on an island should not be allowed to have visitors. That includes Tasmania.
I was going to say, where are you at with that?
How did you get off the island, Quiddy?
I wasn't born there. I was allowed to leave.
I swam past the buoy, and then I used to be a beautiful young woman. This is what the curse did to me.
And now you're a beautiful old woman.
Engels, really. It's a funny because, like, I remember there's a town in the middle of Tasmania called Poatina that was a hydro town. So it was like where they were building a hydroelectric scheme, mm-hmm. and everybody who built the scheme lived there. And then once they finished the scheme, the town was abandoned, and then it all got bought by a single church. Yes, and Poatina is one of the places where I could imagine that video being screened.
Yeah.
100%. You
know, how do we keep the darkness in the hills at bay to make sure that it doesn't go down and feast upon the lowlands?
just sacrifice a few people to the monster.
Just the occasional child sacrifice, whatever. You know, it's all fine. They know what they're in for.
Thing about Poatina is I've never seen anyone stop there. Everyone always points and goes, what's going on there? Like, don't go to Poatina.
Don't stop.
They're not very welcoming. It's not like there's a gift shop little place there. It's more like, nope, shun the unbeliever.
Yep. I think the visuals of this one are great because it does have, it feels so much like, you know, a Stephen King little town. Mm-hmm. You know, it could very easily be from Remarkably Bright Creatures or Needful Things or fucking Haven or whatever. Also, it's got elements of Jaws in there as well. Like, mm-hmm. you know, there's sort of a vague Martha's Vineyard kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
But I like the guy who says at one point, maybe you should try to be more Martha's Vineyard and a little less Salem. But yes, I enjoy that.
Now, who was mm-hmm. your favorite scary bit? Because we were saying it's kind of not Monster of the Week, but it is a little bit Monster of the Week. And all I want to say is the one that I didn't particularly like was the sea hag.
Oh, okay. So I enjoyed that episode because there's a really great misdirect in it.
Oh, yeah.
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 So, no, I disagree with you. I liked the sea hag episode.
No, this is just, I just didn't like the concept of the sea hag. The episode is great, but if I don't want to, the one thing from the island that I don't want to run into is the sea hag, especially if I'm swimming. And I just see the top of her head go bob underneath the water. And then you're like, ah, fuck.
Yeah. Especially love the way that she, the song or the whatever it is says that she kills you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That she'll sits on your face until you die.
And also, there is a very great thing about it was the woman that he kind of maybe was going to go on a date with, and then he freaked himself out about it. And then that whole thing was just very funny.
Convinced himself that she was the sea hag come to life in a siren's form to woo him back to the ocean. But no, it was just a woman that was genuinely interested in him.
Yeah.
Seemed like quite a nice lady.
Yeah. You know? Seemed like a good time. This was all fantastic. It was like, nope, that was the most humiliating thing I've ever done in my life. Getting rejected by a crazy mare shouting at me through a door because he didn't want to open it in case she was a sea hag. I mean, that's just funny.
Yeah. Predakanga says the favorite episode was the party, but then it was also reminded of the Jason Voorhees episode. So, the party episode is called Beach Reads, which is, and it's interesting because on Apple TV, all of the episodes have like a tourist blurb on them. Like each of the episodes is kind of written as if you are a tourist going to Widow's Bay, And it's like, today you're going to find time to read a comfortable book and just find somewhere really nice and settle down with a great read. And that's all.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, that it's, they get their fucking, their mood. They know how to set their mood.
Yeah, it's great. And like, even when you Google search Widow's Bay, it says, do you mean Martha's Vineyard? That's definitely not haunted.
I haven't done that one yet. That's great.
That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, definitely not haunted though.
Yeah. Mm,
no, totally.
You Martha's what? Vineyard and definitely not haunted.
What an odd thing to say.
I think my favorite one wasn't necessarily a monster as such, but I think my favorite episode was What to Expect from Your Trip, which is the one where Tom accidentally gets drugged with a massive dose of hallucinogenic.
Yeah, the mushrooms.
I loved that one because it's that unreliable narrator, but also unreliable editor. Like, you don't know what's happened in the sections in between. And there's a part of me that kind of almost was hoping there would be another episode that shows what some of the shit was that was happening in between.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's bits where Patricia and the other guy who, the very weird looking ginger guy.
Yeah. I can't remember
Dale. Yeah. have clearly been dealing with Tom's shit for quite some time, and some weird bad stuff's happened. But, you know, Tom comes back out of his drug-fueled haze for a second or whatever, and they're just like, oh, fuck, Jesus Christ, no. I want to know what he was doing. What did the drugs make that man do?
Yeah, hopefully we get a bit more of that in the second season. About what did you do when you were high on fucking shrooms? That's going on.
Because also, like, he sees things and there's some kind of thing that is like, there's something out there.
Another great spooky episode is the one where, like, the founder of the town's body is still alive, even though he's buried. And then they have to, like, try and destroy his body thinking that that's going to break the curse. And it kind of sets off the whole second half of the season and, the search for the descendants.
It's some great comedy moments in that when they first do that. When she forgets her purse, she comes in to get from the room and it's just like, oh, Jesus, okay. A lot of tension that's going on, but then there's just these breaks in it, which is actually quite funny.
Yeah.
Because as we find out, all of the characters are a little bit stupid and inept.
Yes.
And perhaps don't know what they're doing, but it's funny. And that adds that little bit of levity we know in how it all kind of goes across, how it's all being explained out there. But it's fun.
They're on the back of a boat and, you know, there's a 500 and something year old undead guy, you know, in a coffin, and they're just yelling, fuck you, at each other.
No, fuck you. No, fuck like, you.
Let me out. You're going to let me out now. Like, no, we're not letting you out. Fuck you.
Did you say fuck you? Yes. Fuck you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, I'm interested. It's got me hooked. I want to be able to figure out what's going on in season two now. Please explain these things to me. And do we actually get to see whatever this is and how are they going to resolve that?
Yes.
Mainly
kind
because
of in a tough spot now.
Mainly because the church bell keeps ringing, except as the Reverend found out that the church bell has been chained up. It doesn't actually fucking move. And yet it keeps ringing. And everyone's like, what the fuck does that mean?
And as I'm pretty sure we were told at one point, the number of times it tolls is the number of bodies that need to be fed to something.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's at least 8, I think, in that last episode. And you're like, oh, no.
Yes. And
big oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. But, hey, you know, like, this is why you have visitors to the island.
You feed them to the monsters.
Exactly. You know.
It's the kind of thing I could imagine that would be like a plot point where they get to the end of a season. They're just like, you know, we could just work with it.
Yeah. But know? I mean, obviously, you know, the island needs to have these sacrifices in order to stay whatever current or whatever it is, but it's not doing great, you know? Or maybe it is doing great. It's fine. I don't know. I'll leave all these mysteries up to the next time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Good fun.
Widow's Bay. Is it Widow's B-A-E?
Oh, fuck.
God.
Do you love it? Do you love it? Do you want to watch it? Is it great?
Yes.
Fucking salty about that. Salt Bay.
So fuck. Yeah, shut up. Shut up, weeb. You went to Smash on the weekend.
Yes, and all I got was this stupid cold.
Yeah, Cooney didn't even get to talk to McKenyu.
I got to look at him up close.
Was he pretty?
As he walked past me.
Was he pretty?
He was very pretty. And I did look at him and thought, you're very definitely a very fit, healthy young man.
A virile young man.
I don't know about that. Like, the thing that got him the most excited at all for the entire thing was opening One Piece TCG cards.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Like, that was where he finally came alive, was like opening cards and doing, cool. You know, unboxings on stage.
So not the paycheck to come to another country.
No.
No. Not meeting thousands of fans.
No. Don't think so. No, it was a very interesting weekend. I had a lovely time. And
interesting is a word.
It is indeed. I thoroughly enjoyed working with some lovely, talented people at Smash. They are genuinely lovely people that I love working with.
I'm astonished they pull it off every year.
There is a big number of people who put a lot of time into making Smash happen. Like, it's a huge event. And that's the other thing I keep forgetting is that it's fucking massive. Like, the numbers of people who go to Smash are huge.
Ooh, yeah.
I got out on the Sunday afternoon and, walked out the door and I thought, maybe I'll just go down to GYG and get myself a $3 taco. And I looked at the fucking heaving sea of weebs, roiling around the ICC. And I was like, oh my fucking God, I'm not going to get a taco.
I saw cosplayers on the Friday night. So like that, the show wasn't even open on Friday. And there were so many cosplayers in the city. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you kids?
Bless them. What a lovely time. I love seeing people's passions getting out there.
Oh.
Go for it.
In the past, Jill, you would have been there. You're a big old weeb. You know how to.
Yeah, but now I can look back and judge them.
Yes. Yes, you can.
Yes. Become the thing you hated, Jill.
Yes.
Judgment.
Embrace the bitterness.
Speaking of judgment, what are we doing next week?
That's a fucking good question.
Nothing. We're not doing anything. We're having a week off. We're able to sit down and judge.
We might try and watch something along the way. On the weekend, I watched something that I wasn't expecting to love at all and yet found myself utterly charmed by. It is The Sheep Detectives.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've fallen for the cult as well.
I have fallen for the cult of the lamb. That is correct.
Right. So The Sheep Detective is good.
It is fucking charming as shit.
Okay.
And is very funny. And, you know, I came away by the end of it being quite delighted by how sweet a little film it is. And it knows exactly what it is and how ridiculous it is. But also, you know, when it's plucking your heartstrings, it plucks them real fucking good. Yeah, I would say, you know what, if you've got a Saturday afternoon or evening and you really want to just watch something that is very sweet and cute, delightful.
Excellent. Well, that's a good recommendation. I, for one, though, in my week off I'm going to watch a Sam Neill retrospective. As many of those ones as I can, you know, start with the well-known ones, you know, like Malcolm. or Event Horizon, In the Mouth of Madness. You know, just all those good, heartfelt, fun films that everyone remembers Sam Neill from. And then that
I
one.
I love that Sam Neill's fucking oeuvre, or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah.
His thing can span from
filmography,
yeah, from The Dish.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good one.
To Jurassic Event Park Horizon
is the fucking best one, though.
Oh yeah, you know, you cannot go past Jurassic Park. Also, thing that I didn't realize until a couple of days ago, I think I'd seen it somewhere. At one point, auditioned to be James Bond.
Ooh. Yeah.
There's footage of his audition, and he would have actually
Kiwi
made a pretty
Bond.
Fucking.
Wow.
He actually said he was really glad he didn't get it because he never wanted to be the Bond that everybody hated.
Oh.
I was like,
but that's Roger Moore.
No. How dare you?
But it became.
Malcolm's done a Bond war.
Sorry, it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't Malcolm. It was Death in Brunswick. I was thinking of. Sorry, but you know he lost out to Timothy Dalton.
Mm. And for many, that is the Bond that everybody hated. I don't know. I like Timothy Dalton, but you know,
Watch Hunt for the Wilder People. He was in that. That was a funny one.
He was fucking lovely in that. That was a really nice film. Like, yeah, I think it's definitely a good week to go back and find a Sam Neill film and,
yeah,
you know, give it another burl. I think, Dion, you sent me a clip of him, and I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just like, you know what I want? I want to not have any dreams. I just want to wake up in a world where everything's dull. And there's wars.
It wasn't,
and nobody's having fights.
Yeah, it wasn't about that. It's just like, I would like a day where nothing happens, where there is no news. Everyone just has a day. And you're right.
There's
like,
nothing to report.
You know, we don't have to stress about the day. We could just have the day. And that's a very nice idea. And plus, he named
people will play a rugby game. Somebody will win. Or maybe they won't. Maybe they'll all just have a draw.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just that very nice idea of that, and also that he named all of his farm animals after famous people that he knew.
His duck, Charlie Pickering.
Yes, his duck, Charlie Pickering. The chicken, Meryl Streep, that he couldn't eat. Because you can't eat Meryl Streep. Anyway, yeah, that's nice. So we're gonna have a break next week, and then we're going to come back to review what now? Do we remember? We've forgotten there? Second season of X-Men 97.
I was Gambit very disappointed this week, actually, because I went to go and watch, like last week they dropped 3 episodes of the new season and I was like, fuck yeah. Went to watch another 3 episodes this week. Nah, just one.
Oh.
I was like, son of a bitch.
That's all right. I've got a couple of Saturday mornings coming up where I'll watch some cartoons.
Yeah, nice. Get back in. Get
so
some
good.
What's your go-to cereal for eating while watching Saturday morning cartoons?
Ooh.
Like
what? Oh gosh, I haven't had cereal in God knows how long.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things where you're like, wait, what did I used to eat? Really? I used to eat that for breakfast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cocoa Pops are good.
Oh, yeah.
Cocoa Pops or like Frosty Flakes, because, I mean, it's already got the sugar on there.
Mm.
Sure.
Yeah, I do love a bit of Frosties.
Do you know what I had that was like stupidly good but probably just full of crap? Reese's Puffs cereal. I tried it. God, fuck me, it was good.
So peanut buttery, but...
Yeah.
Oh.
Chocolate and peanut butter, like just puff balls of God knows what covered in sugar. They were great.
Sure.
That's exciting.
And you'll do that normal thing where after you eat all the cereal, you just pour the milk back into the container to use tomorrow, don't you? Someone explained that to me and I was like, no, you're a psychopath.
No, you drink it.
Because it's now flavored milk.
Yeah. Chalky milk or whatever.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I always remember the little packets you used to get of cereal that came in the box and you had to fight about who got the good ones and
who got the Fruit Loops.
Sultana brand or some bullshit.
Who got the fucking Sultana brand, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God, you'd be pissed if you got the Sultana brand, wouldn't you?
Do you know what? I actually quite like Sultana brand.
I do now.
But
yeah,
I'm not.
It's not bad.
I'm not good in my head. All brand. There was always a fucking all brand. You're like, ugh.
Yeah, oh, God. All brand. Hey, Special K. I don't like. Yeah, like it's boring, but I don't mind it actually.
Yeah.
I'll give you a hack. If anybody has ever tried this before or hasn't, give it a go. Vanilla ice cream with rice bubbles.
Oh,
okay.
Yep.
Like,
you don't need to add sugar. It's just like a little bit of crunchy on vanilla ice cream.
Sure.
Really good. Yeah.
What could I extend that and put a bit of ice magic over the top? So if I went vanilla ice cream,
whatever you want,
and then rice bubbles, and then a bit of ice magic.
Add rice bubbles and vanilla ice cream is great.
Nice.
That would be cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
See, I do remember in my halcyon days of your putting Fruit Loops on vanilla ice cream, and that was, let's be honest, that was actually probably too much. Like, Fruit Loops are very sugary.
Yeah.
So they need the milk to calm them the fuck down.
Why are you putting milk in it? Well, it's got to calm the cereal down.
It's just going off. It needs to just take a moment.
I haven't had in ages, though. A chocolate crackle.
Oh,
chocolate
now I want a chocolate crackle talking about Cocoa Pops.
God, yeah. Jeez. I do love a chocolate crackle. Because, like, I'm not a big chocolate person, but it's chocolate crackles, because they're not actually chocolate, they're kofa.
Yeah, but, like, does anybody do bake sales anymore?
You know, you can just make your own. Crackle. You can just make your own, Jill. They're not that hard. It's just fucking kofa butter and chocolate powder and fucking rice bubbles. No, you use rice bubbles.
Yeah, you don't use Cocoa Pops. That'd be too much. You'd need to have milk to tell it to calm down.
No, double chocolate. And put Cocoa Pops and chocolate.
Jesus. Oh, wow. Predakanga says they actually discontinued Frosties for a while, but then they brought them back last year and the recipe has been apparently changed. What the fuck?
I don't know. I realize I've gotten
to make a healthy one.
I've got
like Frosties without sugar is just fucking cornflakes.
Yeah. Just sad cornflakes.
I got middle aged because nowadays if I think cereal, I'm like, what kind of muesli do they have?
Yeah,
I've had granola more than anything else.
Yeah.
How do I get my protein into it?
Yeah. How do I combine protein and fiber?
Oh no, I've got to have that with A2 milk.
Lactose free A2 milk, if possible.
No. If you're going to do it, at least commit to the whole thing and get the biggest box of stupid cereal and then the cheapest milk that you can find. It's just moo milk.
Oh,
there you go.
I don't know.
I'll
like,
tell you something. My dad's a freak. He eats cornflakes with just sugar on them, no milk. He eats them dry.
What? Why?
Wow.
Because he's a freak. I just told you. I just prefaced it.
See, this is something that I learned that I was a freak growing up. And we all know this, but now I know it as an adult as well. My family would do, like, you know, we'd have.
This is another one of Quinny's family's cooking stories where we just we get collectively horrified by what you grew up with. We're like,
yep.
What do you mean?
What did Quinny's dad make this time?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Mayonnaise.
A pretty good corpse these days.
Mayonnaise and Devon is your recipe for a chocolate eclair. I don't understand.
No, like we would have, you know, full cream milk and then rice bubbles or cornflakes or whatever, and then thickened cream on top and then sugar on top of that. And I wonder why I have a weight
Quinny, problem. I was just about to say, you wonder the way you are. Wonder why you're the way
Jesus.
You are. Yeah.
This is what I grew up with and thought was fucking normal.
Are you sure you didn't grow up in America?
Yeah.
This was a standard kind of thing, and like, you know, that was a nice breakfast, and I was like, fucking
but
Jesus.
You, like, you know, you just got the cream from the cow out the back, right?
No.
You've got to shake the cow first.
Yeah. That's how you thicken the cream.
Yeah. You feed the cow gelatin for a couple of years.
Didn't your dad have one of those paint can mixers and that's what you put the cow in?
And then you squirt it on the top like cream.
Yeah. Oh God! Anyway, now I'm horrified. Anyway,
now we've overshared.
Now we've overshared. Yes.
So this is what happens when you go to Widow's Bay. That's what they have on their cereal in Widow's Bay.
Exactly, but you've got to wear the right headdress in order to cook for your family.
Yes.
Yeah, about that weird tiara.
The weird witchy one. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Yes, we'll have a week off next week, so no show while we take a small break as we're away. I'm going away. Off.
And then we can't be bothered.
No. Hey. Everyone needs a time off. It's the middle of the year. It's almost Christmas in July. That's what you're doing next Tuesday night. You're going to Christmas in July. And if you're not going to one of those parties, you're throwing one yourself and you're inviting Jill and Quinny.
No, don't want it. I hate Christmas in July.
Yeah. I always hated the idea because they were just trying to do that thing of like, oh, Christmas has to be cold. And I'm like, okay, if it was fucking snowing, yeah, I'd be like, okay, cool. But no, it's just cold and rainy. So Christmas in July in Australia is just like a dumb fucking way of doing cold, rainy, not fun.
Yeah. How about other countries do Christmas in July and have a hot Christmas like we do?
They do. Apparently that was a thing. Someone was talking to me about it the other day and they were like, oh, yeah, there's people in England now in the middle of their having like Aussie Christmas. And it was like, what? Do they really do
How
that? What the fuck?
Dare they?
Yeah. Sitting out, having a picnic with
How
like
dare they
ham off the bone and
our
stuff.
Culture.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can't. Next they'll do be that. Playing fucking Tim Minchin songs while they do it.
Those fucking colonizers.
Yeah.
It's reverse colonization.
Yeah.
I feel our culture
upset
is not
and angry.
Your costume.
Unless you have the right price, and then I'm very open to that.
We're okay.
Yeah, if you're going to pay me that way. Thanks, everyone. Thanks. So before we ramble on for another 45 minutes, that's okay. We're going to go now.
Cereal preferences.
Have a good week off next week. Go and watch a few Sam Neill films. That is an impressive gonk.
I was like, we've got to fucking get off. We've got to just stop.
That's a huge gonk. And then we will come back for X-Men.
Yeah.
Season 2 at the end of the month. Yay.
Should get my gonk.
We will. We will. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone in the chat, for joining in. That was fun. Thanks for the subs. We will.
I was going to say yes. Thank you so much for subbing and for Hawkopolips and stuff like Hawk. I can't say it.
Bob Hawkopolips. There we go.
Bob Hawkopolips. Right.
All right. We're going to go. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Yay!
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.